We're going back to Romans 6 for just a few minutes, just to kind of go back through, because we went through it before. Because remember, this is the baptismal scripture that we use. But we need to get this part to show that verse 7 is a continuation. So watch. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Mm-hmm. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I want to scroll. I'm thinking. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Death, burial, resurrection. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that doesn't mean, because the way you read the first part of this scripture, it looks like he says we're baptized into his death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you'd think he was fixing to say that we'll be resurrected like him. No. Even so we should walk in newness of life. So he's talking about us being dead, but being walking through life, being a dead person. And that's what we are. We're dead to sin. We should be dead to all the other things of the world. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, now you and I have not been planted. Okay, that's what we do at the funeral. We plant them, we put them in the ground. Alright? But now Christians, all we're doing is we're just putting the shell. I was thinking about this yesterday. Working, we put them in the ground, but that's just a shell. That person's not even there. The person's nowhere even close. You know, we say whatever you want to. Yeah, he's close or she's close because she's in another dimension. But they have departed from this dimension.
Yes.
And they had to leave their body here because, remember, their body was created in this dimension, not in that dimension.
Right.
Now, the body they went to is created in that dimension. Because we were formed in the image come here, we're born again in the soul, the new man, newness of life. That new man is what goes across the curtain of time, not the body. The body came from mom and daddy. It was a natural act to get us here as human beings to let us express ourselves. So whatever that expression is, when you leave here, you can't take the body with you because it's solid. It's in the first three dimensions. You know, this part right here is in this dimension. It can't go into another dimension. But now that, if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So what likeness are we to him in the resurrection? He went to another dimension. He left his body here. He couldn't take his body across to another dimension. Because why? It was formed in this dimension. Jesus' body was formed in this dimension, his human body. So he couldn't take it with him. But contrary, he's got to come like us, just like us. He can't take that flesh body in another dimension until the resurrection. Resurrection, he stepped out of that dimension back into this dimension, connected back up to his body, and it became glorified. It became eternal. Like Brother Brown said, he inherited eternal life in his body. We had to come back here to get it.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing we have to look at, though, is, as I was thinking the other day, we've got to go up one notch, because that's easy to do, because if you die, you go over another dimension, your soul stays there until whenever. But we which are alive and remains got to do something that no one else has ever done on the face of the earth, even Jesus.
Right.
Jesus wasn't born in sin.
Right.
We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and bound to hell. He wasn't. He came into this dimension eternal.
Yes.
Amen? We didn't. Contrary to any belief you want to believe, it just takes, to me, it's just so simple to leave the thing the way it is, as I tell them June this morning. Everybody wants to have us come here with something inside of us, a seed or whatever. If you come here any different than Judas Iscariot, Judas on the day of judgment can stand up and say, God, I didn't have the chance those people did because you brought me some way special. I mean, you brought them some way special and you didn't let me do it. So everybody then. Paul concludes here a little bit later that we're all born in sin.
Right.
We're all under sin. I just like it that way. That way then Judas can't stand up and say, well, now wait, Dale, you put that little eternal something, whatever it is, inside of him. So it just made him eternal and that's just the way it was going to be, God. And I had no choice. No, God's going to walk up one day, or you're going to walk up to God one day, and he may try to say that. But God's going to say, I give you the same choice I gave him. So then God's not a respecter of persons. I don't know why people can't see that. But they take quotes, and quotes will kill you if you can't put it together.
That's right.
Therefore we are buried. Why do we have to go through all this if we got this eternal germ or seed already in us? Why do we have to go through any of this?
Right.
That's my question. Why do we have to go through this? Why was the Bible even written?
That's right.
Why was the Bible even written? Yes. The Bible's written in what? It's the book of redemption. Some had to fall.
Right.
So,
right.
I got a hangnail. I'm going to have to quit. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, that's not physical death, right? That's not physical death. That, like as Christ was raised up, a good postman always brings fingernail clippers.
All right.
You reach and open 600. Well, yesterday I opened 900 boxes, and I get hangnails. I can't stick my thumb in the mouth and cry about it, so I have to get prepared. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we, there's that we. I'm still working on a sermon on we. Because that we, I heard a guy the other day on the radio, and it was really neat. He said, when you go to the graveyard, he said, you look at the beginning of somebody's life, you know, birth date.
Yeah.
Then you see their ending of life.
Yes, ma'am.
He said, I'm not concerned with those two. He said, I want to know what happened in that little space that they've got that little line drawn. Think of that. Because the birth date is okay, it got you here. The death date, we know where you're departed. What happens in that little, he says, sometimes they're not but about an inch long.
Yeah.
He said, but it's a lifetime.
Right.
He said, I want to know what that dash means.
Right.
The dash is where everything's at.
That's that right. Sermon that you preach while
right.
you're here.
That's that sermon. It's just nothing. It's the dash. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, which means now, okay, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, when you crucify something, you kill it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, that, to me, it's just so simple that you came here with a nature that was black.
That's right.
And it was attached to your soul, the person you are, it was attached. That's why the soul is the nature of the spirit. Yeah. You were born with a nature. And then if you let that nature cultivate at 12 years old, or whatever the age of accountability is, it starts dragging you down. It's like a sucker. It just keeps sucking on your soul. And then it just makes you black. And then one day, what happens? Remember, there's not going to be a laundry list of why you walk up to the white throne judgment and somebody says, well, God said, no, you committed adultery, you smoked, you drank, you did this. No. One thing. Did you believe me or did you not believe me? That's why they asked Brother Brown. They said, you know, he said, oh, pray tell. She said, whoa, Brother Brown, what is it? He said, unbelief. So the white throne judgment is not going to take very long, because you just walk up and say, are you a believer or an unbeliever? So, well, you didn't believe me, so this is what you did. This is the attribute of you not believing. But if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, what was his resurrection? He came from another dimension, come into this dimension, took the body up, changed the body by what was inside of him, and still walked on the earth 30 to 40 days in a glorified body. Same way with us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Remember, we're going to the next situation here, which is, he talks a little bit about marriage and divorce, which is, it types your spiritual life too. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I like what Brother Ron Spencer said Thursday night. He said he was listening to Brother Dan Daisley, one of the last sermons he preached at his church. He walks up, reads the scripture, takes his text, and says, I believe my wife's having an affair. Yeah, they did the same thing. He said the whole church was just silent looking at, you know, Brother Dan. And then he started reading the scripture about how that we were supposed to be dead. Our old husband's supposed to be dead. He's talking about the bride. He's talking about the bride fooling around with other denominations, or fooling around with their own ideas, or fooling around with false doctrine.
Right.
My wife's having an affair, so.
That was his congregation.
Huh?
That was his congregation he was talking
to. Yes, he was talking to Brother Ron's congregation. I believe my wife's having an affair. Friend, that he died unto sin once. I'm sorry, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more, all right? Death hath no more dominion over him, but now what he gets, we get. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, alive through God, unto God through our Redeemer. Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He's our redemption holder. He's the Boaz. He's done the right of redemption. He's the only one that could it.
Right.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Alright? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now what he's done is, he's come out into that middle man. You don't sin in your soul. If you're born again, you can't sin. You're not talking about sinning in your soul.
Right.
You don't sin in your soul if you're born again. If you're not, you just are sinning. But if you sin in your soul, then there's sin in there, and it needs to die. The old husband's still alive.
Yes.
But when the old husband's dead, what he's talking about, look, yield yourself unto God. What? Where is God? If you're born again, where's God? That's our problem. That's what I was telling Burley's people last week. Our problem is we don't yield to that thing that we say that we have.
That's
the most powerful thing in the world. It's the Holy Ghost, the burner of your soul, the one that put God inside of you, the Creator. We don't yield that. We yield what? To the memory, reason, conscience, faith, and imagination.
But you live by what's in there.
Do what?
You live by what's in there. Your life shows whether it's in there or not.
Yes.
As those that are alive from the dead, are they born again people?
Yes. Because you are, remember, this whole world is dead people walking. Sure, they're alive, but, and see, there you go, too. And I was thinking about this also. There's a balance because we are special.
Yes.
We are chosen.
Yes.
We are eternal people walking in flesh bodies,
yes.
And the whole world's not.
That's right.
But if we think that we're greater because of that, I doubt that that's in there, because remember, Jesus was God Almighty in human flesh, and they thought he was so full of the devil because he hung around with sinners and wine bibbers and prostitutes. And hey, remember, they walked up to him and they said, "What's your master? Who do you think this guy is?" And he, in other words, what do religious people say? He don't fellowship with us.
Yeah.
Right.
He fellowships with them sinners and them. You know who he's hanging around out there? Well, see, that's why they called him Beelzebub. Why? Because they didn't have anything inside of them, no representation, to say, hey, that could be the Messiah, but that was already written, so they already made their choice. By foreknowledge.
Yes, that's right.
By foreknowledge, God knew all this. Right. If you take foreknowledge, you can understand everything.
Right.
But you take predestination down the line, and it is. Judas, he didn't choose, us, he did. And that ain't the way it is.
That's right.
That's not the way it is. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? He's asking the question. But God be thanked that we are the servant, that we were the servants of sin. That's my question. How can we have some spot of eternal life in our soul and be a sinner? You can't. You can't have bitter water and sweet water in the same well. I just think we were lost.
Yeah.
We were lost. We were doomed, and we were black in our soul. Our soul was so negative.
Right.
To God. And then all of a sudden, the fire of God comes, kills the old man, the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places. The Bible tells you all these things,
right.
But It's just hard for people to see. Because of what? Because of quotes. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it this morning, about Daniel 70 weeks again. Because of quotes, there's so much of division about Daniel 70 weeks until they, you know, people will, one preacher said, that's a shin-kicking doctrine. Because when it starts getting up, people start kicking shin.
Oh, yeah.
But why is it a shin-kicking doctrine? As the Bible tells us that there's 1 week left after the rapture. So I'm going to make it strong. I don't care what Brother Brown said.
That's right.
I don't. If he said it contrary to the Bible, he's wrong.
That's right.
And he wasn't. He was a prophet.
Right.
He knew how to put it together.
Exactly.
And he knew that they would... you don't think God knew that we'd have contention? They'd have contention,
yes,
over that one...
Yes.
That one doctrine?
Yes.
But the Bible says there's 1 week left. So I'm going to stay with that. And then I can make everything fit.
Right.
What Brother Ram said, I can make it fit.
Yes.
We've done it before, and all the things that we did with the Jewish calendars and all that stuff, we made it fit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We didn't make it fit. God's got somebody on earth that can make it fit.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But ye have obeyed from the heart. Now, where's the heart? The heart's the soul.
That's right.
That form of doctrine which was delivered you. Paul delivered them a sin-killing,
mm-hmm,
doctrine.
Right.
You were once servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. All right? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. We didn't want any. But we were servants of sin, really. I mean,
that's right.
What fruit have ye then in those things wherein ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. All that other stuff we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, remember, this is not chapter 7. This is a continuation of the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. We put that number 7 there, and it would say, you know, Paul's taking a break, he's fixing to change the subject. No, he's not. He's speaking to the same people as he was right here. He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Okay? Naturally and spiritually. Right? So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Natural and spiritual. That's what Dan Daisley was trying to get a point across. His wife was committing what? Adultery.
Right?
She was going after other men. Of course, there's only one. Satan and God, the only two forces we need to deal with. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now look, the husband's got to be dead.
Right.
Now in the natural, I've heard it preached that, well, my wife's dead because she's nothing to me. No. If your wife's sucking air or your husband's sucking air, he's still alive. Same way with God.
Exactly.
If Satan's still sucking air in your soul,
that's right,
you're dead.
That's right.
Okay, you can't marry nobody else.
That's right.
But if he be dead,
amen.
Can I say it that way? If he be dead,
that's right.
If your husband be dead or your wife be dead, you can marry again.
Mm-hmm.
And though she would not be an adulteress, though she be married to another man, because we were married to Satan.
Yes.
And we didn't get a divorce.
Right.
The old husband had to die.
Amen.
And once that old husband died, you're free to marry.
Right.
Naturally and spiritually.
Amen.
All right? Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now, Watch here. That law what? Killed you. Put you in jail.
Right.
That was your old husband.
That's right.
But I didn't do away with the law. Okay. I was thinking the other day somebody was preaching somewhere, maybe in here, was talking about a visiting preacher or something, was talking about the, it says being come dead to the law. Now that doesn't mean you take the law and throw it away. We all still live under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. But the law is in the liberty of Jesus Christ. Paul's going to tell us that later on. We have liberty under that law. But it don't do away with the law. He just said up here, do we do away with the law? God forbid. You can't do away with the law.
That's right.
We're actually the only people that can live the law.
Yes.
We're the only people that can understand the law. Because remember, Jesus was the lawgiver. The Bible says Judah, he comes from Judah, the lawgiver. All right. But it wasn't a law like written down of the ten. Well, like somebody said the other day, they're now 10 suggestions. They're not 10 commandments. So, you know, they're just 10 suggestions. They've watered it down so much, you know. God says you can't commit adultery. He says you can't kill, steal, and all these things. So, anyway. But if we become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, we were talking about Jesus Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh. Now, Paul, are we not in flesh now?
Right.
Yes, we're still in the flesh now.
That's right.
We still got flesh.
That's right.
We still got flesh. But watch. The motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. All right? Because remember, anybody that is not born again, you're under the law. Because like I said, it's not going to be a law where you walk up in and they go, well, now you smoked, you drank, you stole something, you did. No, you just didn't believe when I said it.
That's right, man.
That's all he's got to say. You just didn't believe when I said it. And then they turn and walk off. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. This is it's an oxymoron, really. We used to be dead people. Now we're dead live people.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, really, we are.
That's right.
Just as there are dead people walking out there, we're dead now because we've got to be dead to Christ.
That's right.
All right? To walk in newness of life. Watch. For we are now delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, we were dead as Christians, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're live dead. That we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. The law is not sin. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Same way with us. Because it was a condemner. My brother Dale says it was a record keeper. It kept everything you did.
Yes.
You didn't do this, you did do that, you didn't do this, you didn't do that.
Right.
For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Right.
All right. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscences. Let's see what that word means. That means a longing, a desire, a lust, desire, craving, longing, desire, lust. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscences. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, there was nothing to condemn you.
That's right.
There was nothing.
You couldn't do anything
wrong. No, right. And you have to be careful with this, because I believe that's where a lot of the denominations, and even Brother Dale brings it out, that many people say there was no sin accounted to people until the law came into effect. Because remember, Abraham didn't live under the law.
Mm-mm.
Enoch, Noah, all those people up until Moses coming to Mount Sinai, they didn't have a law.
That's right.
But they lived by the law of their own self.
Okay.
Their self-choice, because Adam had to tell them, you got to make a sacrifice. You got to do this, you got to do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. That was Adam bringing in the law that they lived under. Because you really didn't have 10 commandments until Moses went on Mount Sinai.
Right.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all those people never lived under a law written down, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. So a lot of people think that, but no, you gotta have, even before Adam, there was a law, because God said, you do this, this will happen. You do this, this will happen. That's a law. The law says if you don't go over 70 miles an hour, you won't get caught. The law says if you went over 70, so what did Adam do? He went over 70 miles an hour. Put it in terms like that. He broke the law.
Right.
He broke God's law. Verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. He was a living person.
That's true.
But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And look, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. That's what condemned or brought Israel the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
That's what Israel lived and died under. Because he found it to be death. Once he comes up to his time, he looks back at the law and he's like, man, what'd he do? What did he do under the law? He killed Christians. He killed Christians. He didn't have a New Testament. He didn't have nothing new. He took that Old Testament and killed the very Christians that were supposed to be, you know, supposed to be, and they were ordained to life. They were Christians. They were born again people.
Yeah.
And he was persecuting them and prosecuting them. Because he found it then to be death. Once he got to looking at it on the road to Damascus, he saw, he said, Lord, so he knew that he was talking to Jehovah.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Here comes all the law.
Yes.
I bet you when Paul was laying on the ground, he was like, I didn't commit adultery. I didn't commit this. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Because he was what? He was a Jew. He was a law. He was under the law.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, in his brain, he's like, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And that. But Jesus said, he said, Lord, who out there? He said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting.
Right.
And buddy, you're talking about a Roman candle went off in Paul, and he's like, whoa. Because what he was going to do, Paul was going, Lord, who art thou? And he's going to say, well, I'm Jehovah the Old, and thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not that. When he said, thou are persecuting me through them Christians, Paul got a whole new revelation of what he was doing.
That's right.
Because he was killing them under the law.
That's right.
And he was dying under the law.
Yes.
Because look, because what he was, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
Right.
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. God wrote it. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good. Just what I explained. When he thought he was doing the right thing, he could read it in the scripture, he could read it in the Old Testament, he knew what it was, where it was coming from, but yet his revelation persecuted the Christians. That it might appear, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The exceeding sinful part is he was persecuting Christians and didn't even know it.
That's right.
Well, they're not Sabbatarians, and they're not worshiping Jehovah, and they're doing this and they're doing that. See, it was the law. Paul was zealous of the law. But he found out the law was what was killing him, and through him, killing the Christian.
Where it says, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good. That's the law. The law is good.
Yes.
If it's taken,
but it was working death in him.
Because the way he took it.
What we were just talking about.
Yeah.
That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. See? well, they aren't doing this, so we're going to persecute them. I mean, he called them sinners.
Right.
He called them sinners. Because of the law, he called them sinners.
Yes.
But he found out he was one.
Right.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. So to understand what? The law is spiritual, but his carnal interpretation of that law is what made it. But I am carnal, soul to understand. What? He knew that his mind, his carnal mind, was what was killing him.
Right.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Now, at this time, Paul's born again. So remember, he's writing a letter to the Romans.
Exactly.
Telling them his experience. That's what it's been. The whole thing's been his experience. Under the law, being dead, coming out of the law, being alive in Christ, but being dead in Christ.
Exactly.
All right. But now for that which I do, I allow not. Now what's he talking about? He's moved out into the next man, into that middle man. Because you can't sin in your soul if you're born again. God can't sin. You can't go back into that. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, in other words, if I do the things I shouldn't, I consent unto the law that it is good. Because the law says you can't commit adultery, so don't touch a girl. He knows the law has been magnified. Jesus said, I say unto you now, if you look on a woman to lust after you've committed adultery with her. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh my goodness, Paul. He ain't talking about the soul.
Spirit.
He ain't talking about the soul. He's talking about that spirit realm.
Exactly.
Amen? Can't be talking about the soul. Sin can't dwell in your soul if you're born again. But sin dwells in your memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not my flesh, but in my flesh. Like I said before, forget this thing. This thing only does what that inside guy tells it to do. Alright? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Paul, you just told us back up here one scripture before that we are dead in Christ and alive. I mean, we're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ, and everything's good and happy and wonderful. In the soul, that's the truth.
Exactly.
But Paul is telling us, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. The soul wants to. The soul wants to do good. It's always wanting to do good. For to will is present with me. What? To will. To will that everything I do is perfect.
Exactly.
And spiritual. And according to God. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Spirit realm. Because he leaned to his memory, leaned to his conscience, he leaned to his faith. Listen. This guy couldn't forget what he did to those Christians.
That's right.
Right.
And that haunted him all of his life.
Exactly.
What he did. Because you know what? The sins I did haunts me. It doesn't haunt God.
That's right.
It haunts me.
That's right.
But when we realize, though, that we've moved from that. For the good that I would, I do not. Soul's always good.
That's right.
If you're born again, your soul's always good. Your soul never does anything wrong.
That's right.
But when it comes out through that filter,
that's right.
You got another man coming in from this way. Mm-hmm. Or another spirit coming in from this way. That's the same way with him. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul. Now watch him. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul knows. All right, he's not talking about his soul.
That's right.
But in his spirit realm, we sin every day.
Every day.
That's what he's saying.
That's right.
But remember, and here's another paradox. We've got to take what Paul said and change that middleman. He couldn't change that middleman. It wasn't time. It wasn't the place. He wasn't in the eagle age. He didn't have the word, even though he wrote the word. He didn't have the word to take that middleman and do away with sin. So that's what you and I, to take a body change, that middleman's who we got to work on.
That's true.
Right. Soul's already changed. Flesh is just here to hold everything together. It's that middle guy. That's where the battle is. Look, because I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. All right, same way with all of us. If you can't relate to that, then you're either not born again or you just ignorant. Ignorance is not bad. If you stay ignorant, it becomes that other word. Evil is present. So the same way with all of us.
That's right.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now Paul, he's taking this thing and he's bringing it right over and saying, all right, in my soul, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law, not in the flesh,
that's right,
not in the soul, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Where's your memory from? Your mind. Because remember, this is the paradox. In your soul, that person of your soul, it don't remember sin. It can't. If it's Almighty God, it can't sin, didn't sin, and can't ever sin. Is that all right? So when you think a thought and it's contrary to God, it didn't come from your soul. I promise you. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. You sit down long enough and in your memory, the things you've done, it will captivate you and you'll think you're the worst sinner to ever live. And you were.
Okay, you tried it.
And you were. Just go ahead and admit it. You were.
That's right.
But that this man that's in the soul, mm-hmm, he's going, what sin are you talking about? I mean, really.
That's right.
All that stuff that we did, sure, we remember it.
Right.
Sure, we did it in our flesh.
That's right.
But if you're born again, this soul person never did it.
That's right.
If there's one speck of sin in that soul, you're not born again.
That's right.
That's right. Eternal as God is, pure as God is, and perfect. Because it can't be eternal without being perfect.
That's right.
All right? So it didn't come from there. It's not Paul telling you the same thing right here.
That's right.
For I delight as the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. What? Yes, you can. No, you can't. No, you can't. Yes, you can. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Paul, I thought you were the born-again Christian. I am. I just have a problem in that middle realm.
Okay. That's right.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's asking the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's all he can do. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, knowing that's his Redeemer. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Because remember, you don't need your soul. I'll bring it out later. Something I'll bring out to you, but not right now. Let's hold off. Because remember, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now, what he's talking about, though, now watch. In my mind, but look, he's got another law warring against the law of my mind.
That's right.
Okay? Because remember, God takes the heart. Satan chose the mind.
Right?
Right? This is what's got to start being purified.
Yes,
this is already purified if it's born again.
Yes,
right.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Let me read now the dialogue just for a few minutes and let's see what it says here. All right. Are you ignorant, brethren, for I am speaking to those who are acquainted with the law, that the law controls a man for as long a time as he lives? Hence, the married woman is bound by law to the living husband. See, that's pretty clear in the dialogue. But if the husband die, she is released from the law of the husband. So then, while the husband is living, she will be declared an adulteress if she belong to another man. But if the husband die, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she belong to another man. Verse 4, wherefore, therefore, my brethren, ye also were put to death by the law through the body of the anointed one, in order that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, those sinful passions which were through the law worked in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, verse 6, having died, we are released from the law, by which we were held, so that we may serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. That what then shall we say? Is the law sin? By no means. Indeed, this is verse 7. Indeed, I did not know sin except through the law. Pretty clear. For even strong desire I had not known, if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. Verse 8. But sin, having taken opportunity through the commandment, worked in me all strong desire. Apart from the law, however, sin is dead. Verse 9. And I was formerly living apart from the law, but the commandment, having come sin, lived again, and I died. Verse 10. We'll stop right there. And that commandment intended for life, the same was found by me for death. Amen. Let's go.